Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Well, feeling shame about ourselves or feeling pride about ourselves are two things that God doesn't want us to feel about ourselves. And in this message, we're going to explore what God wants us to feel about ourselves. If it's not shame and if it's not pride, what is it? So in our world, many of us struggle with feeling shame about ourselves and feeling prideful about ourselves. And oftentimes, we find ourselves kind of swinging back and forth between those two things. Now, to feel shame about ourselves is to mean that we don't feel like we can be loved, and to have pride about ourselves is to think that we're the only ones that are worth being loved and that everyone else is less than us. And we can hear that, and we know immediately that we don't want to live in either place, in either extreme. So there's somewhere in the middle, of course, that's a healthy place to be, which is a place of having a good sense of self-worth, a faithful or healthy sense of self-worth, because God loves us. And that's, of course, where God wants us to be. Now, knowing that we want to live in this place doesn't mean we always end up there. And knowing that we have to focus ourselves and try to get to this place is something that God wants for us. Now, let me tell you a little bit about a story that can help us see what this looks like and some of the pitfalls that we can make. And I think that if we take this story into our hearts, then we can have the kind of focus and understanding of why this is so important. Because in particular, there's one of these stories in the scriptures from the book of Judges where the story has a story about a hero who then fails because he goes so far from thinking he's worthless to having so much pride that he falls so hard. Now, this story is the story of Gideon. And Gideon was a judge that was raised up by God to help Israel at a time when they needed help the most. Now, to set the stage, we need to remember that before there were kings of Israel, they were a confederation of tribes, and on occasion, they'd have some trouble. And in one particular instance, a tribe, another group of people called the Midianites, had conquered them. Now, when they got conquered by another group of people, they thought it was because God was angry with them and that God let them be conquered. And then in the story of the judges, God would raise up a leader to help them get out of the trouble. In this particular time, they thought that God raised up a guy by the name of Gideon to lead them on their way. Now, I need to tell you quickly that these stories in the book of Judges are probably made up, many of them, or have been led to be us to understand that they're bigger than they actually were. Some of them are fables, some of them are maybe stories of local leaders who did great things, but then they became tall tales or legends, it might be. So when we hear these stories, we need to remember that they're actually stories or allegories that are meant to help the people of Israel understand what it meant to be a good king or a good leader. But if we look closely enough at these stories, it can help us see how to be good people and to be kind of the people that God wants us to be. And I think the kind of people that all of us want to be. Now, in particular, this guy Gideon was a part of a tribe of Manasseh, and God comes to Gideon in the time where the Midianites, like I said, had already conquered Israel. Now, it's super interesting. In the story, an angel of the Lord comes to Gideon and says to Gideon, I'm going to raise you up so you can be the judge who delivers the people from the oppression of the Midianites. And Gideon responds to the angel and says, my family, my tribe, is the least of the tribes, the weakest of the tribes, and I am the least of my family. Who am I to be used by God to do this? Now, if you think about that for a minute, that is someone who has no sense of worth. That person has no sense of self-worth, and they think that God can't use them. In Gideon's instance, he thinks that God is not with him. And because he thinks God is not with him, he thinks that he isn't worth being used by God. Now the story continues, and God shows Gideon through the angel that he is with Gideon, and Gideon believes that God can use him. And in fact, Gideon then goes on to build an altar to God and starts a sacrifice to God, which they had stopped doing. And Gideon then tears down an altar to another god, to Baal, which sends a signal to the Midianites that somebody is going to challenge them. Well, if you're going to challenge the Midianites, then you're going to need an army. And God then says to Gideon, he's going to raise up an army to use to defeat the Midianites. Now, what's interesting here is that at first there are 32,000 men that come to fight, but God says that's too many people to go fight. Here again, remember that this is an allegory. This isn't instructions for us on how to act or necessarily how God actually worked at the time, but as a story that we can learn from. And so God says, I want you to send home everybody who's afraid. And 22,000 men leave, leaving 10,000 potential warriors. And then God says to Gideon in the story that that's still too many people. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to have the men bend down at the river to drink and watch them. And anybody who reaches down and pulls up water to their mouth, send them home. But anybody who laps up water like a dog, that's how it was, you can keep them. And it got down to 300 men who bent down and drank water like a dog. And it's those 300 men that God said, I'm going to use you and these 300 men to defeat the Midianites. The point of this is not to show how God was going to use a military invasion to liberate the people, but rather that God was going to use just 300 people to do it, meaning that only God could deliver the victory. And in fact, what happens next shows even just how absurd the victory was, because the way they won is by playing trumpets and breaking clay jars, causing confusion amongst the Midianites, and they pretty much just gave up and ran away. I will warn you, if you ever read the story, it's a bit more graphic than that, but they do win. But the point being, they defeated an entire invading and occupying army with 300 men by breaking pots and sounding trumpets. There's nothing about that that should tell Gideon, in particular, that he has done this victory. But also, it should help Gideon understand that he has worth because God used him and God is with them. And that's that God loves them. And that's where our sense of self-worth needs to come from. Now, I wish that the story of Gideon ended there because that would be a great place to end. But unfortunately, Gideon decides to keep moving forward and he does some despicable things because his pride starts to grow. He starts to think of himself so much. He starts to think of himself as the one who caused the victories. And when his pride got the best of him, he did a despicable thing then after that. He actually killed a bunch of people because he felt disrespected by them. Admittedly, they weren't the kindest to him, but he had a disproportionate reaction to how they disrespected his army because they wouldn't give them some food, which was a no-no. You were supposed to help people in that time. But the reality is that he killed them all in this story, because his pride had got the best of him, because he thought he was the cause of the victory. He then goes on to then do further damage by telling the people that he's going to make an idol for them to worship, because he thinks that he's the God that is causing these things. Well, he does this, and the people fall back into their ways of worshiping other gods. And you can see how he went from someone who thought he had no worth to someone who was being used that had a good sense of self-worth, all the way to the pride that came before the fall. And not only did it cost Gideon, but it cost the people of Israel in the story as well, because they were then captured again. Now, when you hear that story and you hear some of the fantastical pieces of it, you can really understand how this story is perhaps an allegory that's meant to teach us about a particular value of how to live, as opposed to being instructions for how to live word by word of the story. And we can see in there that journey from going from a place of feeling like there's no self-worth to a healthy, faithful place of self-worth to a place of pride is a journey that when we go on that one and go too far to the pride or too far to the lack of self-worth, we find ourselves in a danger zone. We find ourselves in a place where we are going to think we can't be used and can't be loved, or think with a place of pride to think that we're the only ones that should be loved and we're the only ones who have value. And that's not where God wants us to be. God really wants us to be in that middle place where we have a sense of our self-worth because we hear so clearly that God loves us and that God is with us and that God can use us to achieve what God wants in this world, which is for everybody to know they're loved by God and to have what they need to survive and thrive. Now, when we have a better sense of what it looks like to have a healthy sense of self-worth, a faithful sense of self-worth, then we can be the kind of people that God wants us to be. But to make sure that we find ourselves in this place at this time in our lives, where we want to be able to move forward, especially when we're facing so many challenges, we have to look at the circumstances of our lives and make sure that we understand that our self-worth comes from the fact that we are loved by God and that God is using us to help the world become the place God wants it to be. That God is helping us to have loving and faithful relationships with our family members, with our friends, with our coworkers, with the random people that we get to know, that's what it means to be someone who loves God and loves others, which is where the source of our self-worth really needs to come from. But that means that we are facing these challenges in our lives that can really throw curveballs in the midst of all this. One of the challenges to our self-worth is that we think that we're the cause of all the problems in our lives. And that when we have that problem, we start to slink towards the place where we think we're not worthy. Now, if we are owning all the problems in our lives and think that everything that is going wrong in our lives is our fault, of course we're going to move to that place where we think we're not worth anything. But think about that for a minute. Think about how many challenges you're facing. Think about all the fires that might be popping up in your lives, right? Think about all of those and think about for the moment that some of those aren't your fault, that you're not the cause of some of those, that there are external things happening in and around you and to you that aren't your fault. I mean, of course, you can't stop to think a minute about these things without realizing the impact of a pandemic that none of us caused. A primo historical example of an external thing that challenged everything in our lives. But we also have to own the fact that some of our challenges may be the cause of our own actions, of course. But think about separating those two out, and you can realize what you can control and what you can influence is where you need to put your focus so that you can grow in your sense of self and grow in your sense of self-worth, but also to let go of those things that you can't influence. And don't let those impact your sense of the challenges in your life being your fault. And when we put that together, that can really help us have a better understanding of what it means to have a healthier sense of self-worth when we're struggling. Another piece of this that we can look to is making sure that we don't go too far into the prideful zone, too far into the area where we think we are the ones who are the cause of all our success, where we think that we are so good and so great that we're worth worshiping, or rather that we're worth being thought of so highly. And when we move into that place, and that's a place where, as Americans, we can really find ourselves far too often moving into, as we know, pride comes before the fall, right? We can find ourselves moving in a direction where we're so going all that way, away from a healthy sense of self-worth, to an inflated sense of self-worth. And remember what happened when Gideon did that. He started to think that he was the cause of their victories. In the story, that's just not true. And that's the same thing that can happen in our lives. If we think that we are the cause of all the good and all the victories we have in our life and all the positive movement, then we are going to come up short as well. Because isn't it also true that none of us get to where we go on our own? We have people that are helping us. We have privileges for many of us that give us a starting point ahead of other people. And we also have God who's with us. God is the cause of so many things in our lives. God is the source of the love in our lives. And when love is propelling us forward, we do great things because we have love at the foreground. But when we have ourself, when we have our pride moving us forward, well, we're headed towards a fall. And we need to dial that back in so we're not prideful, but yet we understand that the source of healthy self-sense of self is the fact that God loves us, is the fact that God can use us. And that's what helps us move forward when we're facing challenges, like we've been talking about, like we have courage when we're under fire. So the fact of the matter is there are some people who find themselves in a very healthy balance, where they simply have a healthy sense of self-worth and a healthy sense of the capacity they have to make good things happen for them and for other people. And what happens for the healthiest of us is that we kind of stay in that zone. Maybe we veer a little bit to the pride, but we kind of come back around. Maybe we veer a little bit again to the sense of less a sense of self, but we come back in the middle. But what we know is that there are so many of us who are veering all the way to the pride and veering all the way to the shame. And we want to help each other make sure we don't go so far to the extremes, but rather come towards that middle healthy ground where we're rooted in God's love and rooted in love of others. And that story of Gideon can help us see how important this is, can give us a glimpse of what it looks like for us to have a sense of that with God at the foreground. So when we think about Gideon as a real cautionary tale, it can help us have a better story in our lives guiding us. We don't want to be like Gideon, who thought of himself and his family of being worthless and unusable. And we also certainly don't want to be like Gideon, who was so prideful that he caused the fall of his own family and the fall of the whole people around him. But rather somewhere in the middle, where we know that our sense of self comes from the fact that God loves us, and God wants us to bring that love to other people. That's where we want to be. That's the kind of people we want to be. We want to be people who don't fall victim to the shame in our lives and don't fall prey to the pride, but rather live with a healthy sense of self, fueled by God's love for you. So remember, God loves you. And because God loves you, you are worth loving and you are worth giving love to others. That's the way that we can have better courage when we're struggling too, is to remember all those things. So all of us need to remember that God loves us, and we're worthy of love and worthy of sharing love with other. That helps us avoid the shame, that helps us avoid the pride, and that helps us live how God wants us to live.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.